Well, Bob, you've been having quite a bit of fun lately.
You know, haven't you? I think I've seen probably 70 shows since I saw you last.
That's amazing.
I don't think I'm exaggerating that.
CMJ Festival.
CMJ, I think I saw 40 bands, and I think Moog Fest, I saw 30. And
you went and chatted with Peter Gabriel, and had a guest DJ show.
Oh, I saw him do so. Oh yeah, I did
from
do that.
Start to finish.
You could have come.
No, I couldn't. I was in Boston.
Oh, that's right.
But Bob's out having fun. I'm stuck at home practicing my violin.
Well, you couldn't have been just sitting around playing the violin. You've gone through stacks of music, and it's been weeks and weeks and weeks since we've done a show together.
I just snorted.
I know. I like that.
I have. I tweeted about this song I want to kick the show off with. It's just saying it was the best song of the week, and now it may be, for me, the best song this fall.
And I'm the best song in the room.
And the best song in the room right now. Ty Siegel, Thank God for Sinners. Let's hit it.
Okay.
Drops the microphone, walks off stage. I think my work is done here, Bob. You're going to have a hard time.
I'm
going to
have the whole show picking up with that. I've been living with that song, too. And you're right.
My God. It's just, that's Ty Siegel. He's a solo artist and also in about a half a dozen other bands and collaborates with others.
It's like the third record he's done this year.
He's done, at least he released, when we last checked in with Ty, it was in April, and he just released an album under the name White Fence. That was Harry put that on the show.
Right.
Then he released another record in June as the Ty Siegel Band. And now he's got this solo record.
Wait a minute, isn't there the Sick Alps record, though?
He does all these other records with other people, too. And his music is
He's a slut.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ty. We don't even know you.
Yeah, he gets around.
He does.
He gets around. His music is just very fat and gritty. And I think this Twins record that just came out in October is the best thing he's done this year of all the things that he's worked on. And I'm calling it the October surprise for throwing my entire top 10 list of
Whoa.
The year off, you know. So I thought it was going to be one thing, and then here's this October surprise just brutalizing my entire top 10. So it's an awfully good record. Ty Segall.
It's a good problem. It's the October surprise.
It is. Indeed. But I wish you luck. Go for it. What do you have?
So
good night, everybody.
I've been reading this. I just started reading this book. Got it in today. I don't read usually. This is called Supernatural Strategies for Making a Rock and Roll Group. It's by Ian Svenonius. Do you know Ian at all? Ian was with the Makeup of, and more recently he's with a group called Chain of the Gang there.
Okay.
Washington Band.
Is this sell your soul to the devil? That's one supernatural thing you can do to start a
this
rock
is
and roll
group.
Is that what they mean?
Okay, or? Here's chapter 3. I'll read you the first thing I came across today when I opened this book up, wondering, not knowing it was Ian, who's a very funny man.
Not realizing it was a book.
Right. If one makes a rock and roll group, one must eventually make some music. But before that, one must make a photograph of the group. Right?
And when I was in high school, all of my friends and I were in 27 different bands, and we never made a single song, but we had so many band photos. It's like trying to decide what your photo is going to be on the dust jacket of your book before you've written it.
God, I don't know when this book comes out, but I cannot wait to dig into this. Supernatural Strategies for Making a Rock and Roll Group, Ian Svenonius. Do you remember the Handsome Family?
Yeah.
Chicago band, duo, husband, wife, Brett and Rennie Sparks, Chicago group.
Right.
There's a new record by Andrew Bird, and he covers a song of theirs. And you say a new record from Andrew Bird.
Didn't we just have a record from Andrew Bird? I think we kicked the year off.
We
with
totally
an Andrew
did.
Andrew Bird record.
Break It Yourself. He's gotten back together around a single microphone with the main musicians on the record. They do a couple cover songs. They do a version of a song that's on Break It Yourself. And then there's some newer material, too.
So this is like a companion piece to
Break
It Yourself.
Exactly. So it's short. It's like a 35-minute record. And I really like the Handsome Family cover that they do here. It's called When That Helicopter Comes, and the album from Andrew Bird's called Hands of Glory.
It's gonna rain champagne, and the hills are gonna dance. The power in the blood when the helicopters come. The sky was swimming lightning fire and the trees were shaking screen. There'll be power in the blood when the helicopters come. When the helicopters come. Every power in the blood. When the helicopters when the helicopters come, living power in the blood. When the helicopters come.
Nice. I like that. That worked nicely coming out of the Ty Siegel, too.
Were you ever a fan of Andrew Bird's Bowl of Fire stuff, the stuff he did prior to?
I was, and you introduced that, introduced that to me.
I love that stuff, and that's the spirit of some of that music.
I can hear that in the more dreamy, the dreamier sort of sounds.
Yeah, and then the sort of a bit of old-timiness to it, too. He's a lover of music from the teens, 20s, and 30s, and so there's some of that in all of that. Andrew Bird covering the Handsome Family on an album called Hands of Glory. A song called When the Helicopter Comes. Supernatural Strategies for Making a Rock and Roll Group. Chapter 5. After the name is discovered, but before the photograph is snapped, the members have to be found.
Well, that's a perfect segue into this to this next band I want to play because they have a good story about how the members found each other. Do you know who Ryan Grayface is? Do you know Black Moth Super Rainbow?
Mm-hmm.
He's in that group. So he moved to Savannah, Georgia, and he was walking around the city. There are a bunch of these squares. They're like little block-long parks. No, throughout the city, there are like a couple dozen of them. But there are these little parks in Savannah, and he was walking through one of the parks one day, and he heard these two women playing auto harp and singing what he describes as really weird songs. And he thought, why not? He approaches them. He talks with them about, he finds out they're sisters, asks them if maybe they'd be interested in singing some of the songs that he's written.
And then he said, I'm with a group called Black Moth Super Rainbow, and they went the other way.
Right. And so that's how they formed the group that they're calling Casket Girls, and they're a trio. They're from
C-A-S-C-A?
Casket. Like
casket.
What you will
More
one day be buried in.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm it.
I don't know. I might go the urn route.
You're just going to burst into a little
any moment,
a little burst of dust where you used
when
to
I
be.
when I hit my 1,000,000th show. I'm gonna walk in and go, Mr. Boylan,
and then we'll say, thanks everybody, it's been a great ride, and we'll go out on Neil Young or something. But no, Casket Girls, they've got this new record just out now. They're calling Sleepwalking, and I want to play called Walking on a Wire. Mm-hmm. It's like a much darker 60s girl group or something.
I was certainly thinking of Best Coast.
Yeah.
When I heard it.
Well, it reminds me of something. I want to play just
if
this.
If Best Coast was on the East Coast.
Right. Let's play just this top here. And you tell me what you, well, you don't tell me now, but I want you to think about what does this song remind me of?
Is this what song? Does it remind you of? But I'll work on what it reminds me of.
All right. It reminds me of something. Just a second here. Let's listen. I'm going to scooch ahead here.
And in the lights.
Led Zeppelin. Oh, well, oh, that.
The melody and the harmony, something there really reminds me of something. And I'll let you know on the next show or maybe on the blog.
I have to read our blog. It's actually been really good lately.
You know, I read your blog, guys. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The ultimate compliment. Anyway, that was Casket Girls, Walking on Wire from the record Sleepwalking.
How many Smarties do you eat in a show?
During a show?
Yes.
Or Sweet Tarts? I don't know, but I'm a handful by the end of the show.
Yeah.
I've got so much sugar coursing through me. I don't know how many I'm into. Half a bag?
You stack them up on, I'll send a photo out about this, but on Twitter at All Songs or Facebook, even my Instagram, Tiny Desk, I'll put all those places so you won't miss this scintillating.
My riveting, watching Robin eat his Sweet Tarts or Smarties. I don't even know what these are anymore. I just grab whatever's in the candy bowl and just start shoving them down my gullet. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, don't listen to what people tell you about like losing weight and everything. Sugar is your friend. You cannot have too much sugar.
Really?
No, you can actually get an awful lot of mail about that. You can actually have way too much sugar. But anyway, go ahead, Robin. What we got next?
Chapter 7 recording. This book isn't even out. Ian doesn't even know I'm doing this. I must find him. Chapter 7. Making a good record is largely a matter of luck. There are famous studios, producers, and tricks using such and such a microphone to get a particular sound, quote unquote, but there's no proven formula. New, surprising records are released all the time, which have that magic ingredient, at least according to their audience, even though they were recorded in a basement, a bedroom, a bathroom, or a spaceship.
Do you have something that was recorded in a spaceship, bedroom, or bathroom?
Well, maybe. Because we're going to record it right here, right now.
All right.
But we're not telling people whether we're in either a spaceship or a bathroom. That's for them to figure. But I need that cable, that $3 cable that we only have one of. So have you played with the Brian Eno Scape app?
I haven't, but he's had some amazing music apps.
They're the best. They're just the best. Well, this one. So I've just loaded up my iPad. And on it is Scape, like a soundscape, app, the newest one he's done with Peter Chilvers. It's a series of backgrounds that you can change.
Visual backgrounds.
So you can see it's like kind of like a splotchy, pretty purpley
Looks
blue.
Looks like almost under a galaxy or something.
And then there are shapes that you can then add to the picture here, the little blue blob on there.
Oh, you hit a bass drum in there, too. Yeah. They got it going.
And unlike the other apps, which you draw, like Bloom, you draw the sounds and it comes back and repeats, each shape and object is a rule. And the rule might be when you put that kind of what looks like an upside down E.
Or a W.
Or a W. Oh, yeah. It might say something to the effect of... play only when nothing else is playing, or when something else is here, then interact with it. Anyway, in addition to the app, he's just done this record. It's called Lux. It's four cuts. They're each like 19 minutes long. I'm not going to play a 19-minute song, but Eno did a little MP3, like a four-minute MP3 from something from Lux, so we'll play that. This is like his first solo album in like 6 years, so I'm kind of thrilled about it. Thank you.
Brian Eno. Pretty clever guy.
Ah, good morning.
You're one of a kind, Bob.
I do love what he does. The idea of setting up rules to make the music, he said, in some ways, it makes him obsolete. He's writing something, he and Peter Chalvers are making something that is making him obsolete, but it's beautiful. I mean, he used to do it with tape machines in a way,
yeah,
where he'd run two machines and they'd collide in ways and make sounds together that were unpredictable but set up as...
Yeah, we talked a while back on the blog about what it means to be a musician today. You could not know how to play a single note of music, but take this app that he's created and make your own album.
Right.
So I don't know what to do with that. As someone who I have studied music, and you know, when I hear things like that, it makes my head spin.
You say, why did I waste my time?
Yeah, why did I waste my time all those years at the piano? No, so maybe we'll pull that blog post back up and have people weigh in on.
Yeah, it's
on
sort of about letting
like
go
this.
Of control in a way. You're not in control of music anymore, which is the opposite of what a musician does. Right?
Well, it's that, but it's also playing with somebody else's imagination, which is something that you once described to me, of using these synths where you push a single button and then the sound evolves into this huge, huge piece. And all you've done is push a button, and you're thinking, but yeah, I'm playing around with this other person's imagination. And in a way, the musical instruments are, in fact, that. A piano is something that somebody imagined, like, well, you know, you sit down and play with their imagination.
And actually, I was thinking about Panthère de Prince. Do you know Panthère de Prince's music? So he played Moogfest, but before I went to Moogfest, the night before, of course, I went out to his show in Washington. And it is absolutely stunningly beautiful music. It's ambient music in the way... Eno's music is ambient, but it is, I think it's more engaging. I think the evolution in Panthère de Prince's music feels more purposeful, maybe.
More structured. There's
a
spine to this seemingly amorphous.
Yes. And this song I want to play for you actually has a beat behind it. It's called Photon. It's from a record that doesn't come out till January. But he also uses a lot of sounds. You ever seen a gamelan orchestra at all?
I know what a gamelan is, but I've never seen a whole orchestra.
So it's amazing. They're all playing these incredibly gorgeous sounding bells. And he uses a lot of those sorts of sounds. And it reminds me of what, let's say, 22nd century gamelan music might be. So let's play some Panthère de Prince from the record called Elements of Light that comes out in January.
Thank you.
Isn't that great? It
really is. Just great music to get lost into.
Yeah, and it sits somewhere between foreground and background, too, which I like. I like music that does that. Yeah. It's not insulting to say this is great background music when you hear something like that, because when you do pay attention to it, it's fully engaging and interesting.
Well, you become a part of that background, right? I mean, it's all sort of...
I become wallpaper.
Yeah. I've seen that happen. It's frightening.
It's a glaze over my eyes.
Well, I want to revisit an artist we discovered back in Austin, the South by Southwest in March, Gash Cat. Do you remember? How could you forget Gash Cat?
Right?
The unfortunately named Gash. Can I say that? The unfortunately named Gash Cat, you know?
Well, I mean, Ian Svenonius would probably have something to say about bad band names, right?
You know, bad band names. We should do a blog post about band names that we think are pretty awful, but we love the band so much that we forgive them.
Dear bad band name, we forgive you.
We forgive you. Yeah. And then, so Gash Cat's one of those for me. I mean, this band is just so great. They get compared a lot to Neutral Milk Hotel, and I suppose they're worthy comparisons, but regardless, it's great music. I want to play, they've got this new collection of demos coming out, Devil Kid Demos is what it's called, a little EP, and I want to play a cut from Gash Cat called Lady of the Ark.
Like it.
That might be my favorite new song of the day.
Of the day.
That I've heard in this room.
Cash Cat, Lady of the Ark.
I know, I like that a lot.
From the Devil Kid demos. These are songs that they've recorded rough versions of. They are going to probably include them on a full-length record due out, hopefully sometime next year. Cash Cat, I think this band could maybe be something.
If they changed it. No, I'm sorry, Cash Cat.
No, I think I'm really looking forward to hearing what they put out next year and hope it does it for them.
This is the last thing I'll pull from this book that I've picked up today. Ian Finonius' book that must be coming out soon, or I wouldn't have this in my dirty little hands. I've already lost my place. If you wince or pause, this is something Cash Cat should have thought about, maybe they did and it worked for them. But if you wince or pause when asked, what is your band called? Then it's not an identity that should be inhabited, at least not by you.
That's so funny because I remember going to see this band, and I was visiting Portland one time and went out to a show, and there's a band I'd never heard of. And I really liked them. I thought, wow, they're really good. But I didn't catch the name. So I walked up to the guitarist afterwards. I said, what did you guys say your name was again? And he said, Small Stone. And he just said it in this sheepish way that said, you know, like...
Whoa, what just happened?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This is it.
Danger, Bob.
Only one. It can only mean one thing. Did you ever do that with a fan?
Yeah,
no,
I did.
Hang on. Will you talk right behind the fan and do I mind?
No.
It's been so long since we heard this. Let's go out on this. To heck with Lars.
Now,
hey, Lars.
It does raise the bar.
You know, that it's a little misleading to the song that you guys have me introducing today.
Well, that's true. That's true.
All right, then let's go out on this.
It's actually extremely misleading.
No, you know, Lars is, he's pegged our resident metal expert, and he is, but your tastes are more complex than that, and you brought something today to illustrate that.
Yeah, this is the debut album from Holly Herndon. She is a San Francisco-based electronic music composer. She spent her teenage years in Berlin DJing at rave clubs, and then went to Mills College, which has an excellent electronic composition program. And she's all up into programming music and computers and stuff, and she's now at Stanford making even weirder sounds. But this record, her debut movement, kind of mixes both the quality of music that you would like to listen to on your headphones when you're on the subway, just kind of like gently nodding, as well as the stuff that you just want to rage out to ecstatically on the dance floor. And there are moments that are completely...
Is that stuff later in the record? Because I got the crazy, wonderful sounds at the top.
Yeah, there are about 7 tracks on this record. About 4.5 of them are kind of more abstract live vocal manipulations that she's processing through a laptop. And they're really fascinating to listen to, especially on a good pair of headphones. But
And to wonder, how did she do it? When I listen to this record, it's just so strange and sonically so unusual and surprising. I couldn't imagine how she actually did it.
It's computers.
It's, you know what, it's technical.
And then the other 2.5 songs.
The other 2.5 songs are, I wouldn't quite call them club bangers, but they're nearing that realm of like stuff that you would hear, something that the DJ would spin really late into his set, maybe. I listened to this song when I was writing this up for our First Listen series. You can stream this record on her First Listen series. Is Holly Herndon's record Movement. And when I was writing it up, I listened to Fade probably about 10 times. Just kept listening to over. It's so blissful and strange. It's like Meredith Monk discovered Acid House and went down the rabbit hole.
Good.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. Let's listen to this, Holly Herndon, because I agree with you. This is, I told you that I thought the record was maybe a little hard for people to get their ears around, but this song is a good introduction, I think, to the whole record, Fade.
We got a couple of great first listens up here. The Jim Jarmusch and Josef
Van Vissem.
Van Vissem, the lute player. Yeah, so very cinematic record, too.
And speaking of stuff on the site, I talked about all the fun you got to have going to CMJ and Moog Fest, and people can actually go online and listen to some of the concerts that you saw at Moog Fest.
That was a great festival, and I bet Holly Herndon was either
she should have gone.
Julia Holter was there.
Yeah,
and Subotnick was there, and there's not just the California and Mills College and all that stuff linked, but
sure.
I think there's a real link between what she does and Morton Subotnick. And there's an interview I did with Morton Subotnick. He's 80 years old, as spry as can be, and really thoughtful about making music that is completely different than anything else. And I think she attempts to do that too.
Holly Herndon, Fade. How does the show ever get done?
Would you thank Lars?
Do me a favor.
Do me a favor. Hey, Robin, do me a favor. Thank Lars for me.
Lars, Bob says thanks for coming on the show.
Can you tell Bob that I don't care?
Bob, Lars doesn't
oh,
care.
Oh, Lars, I always thought you cared. From PR Music, thank you, Lars.
Thanks, Bob.
It's All Songs Considered. Bye, Robin.
Bye-bye. Ah.